Gopi Janavalabha Girivaradari Jasona Nandana Raja Janaranjana Jamuna Chira Manachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Nipaya Paramahamsa Parivraja Kachari Yashitara Shuta Shri Shri Mara Sivayan Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Raja Granta Shri Maha Bhagavatam Ki Samaveda Bhaktivedanta Ki Itai Gavu Pramandi All glories to this one of Varis All glories to Shri Shri Vranga Uranga O Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya O Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya O Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Bhaumam Divyam Manushyam Cha Mahitvam Karma Yoga Jam Yash Chakre Nirayau Pam Yam Purusha Nujana Priyaha Bhaumam Divyam Manushyam Cha Mahitvam Karma Yoga Jam Yashchakre nirayau pamyam Purusha nujana priyaha Om Devyanushamcha Manitam karmayokajam Yashchakre nanayau pamyam Purusha nujanakriyaha Lomam divyam manusham cha Mahitam kamrayogajam Yashchakre nanayau pamyam Purusha Nujana Priyaha Mothers Vomam Zivyam Manushyam Cha Manitam Kama Yoga Jam Yashchakre Nirayau Pamyam Purusha Nujana Priyaha Bhaumam of the lower planets, Divyam, heavenly, Manusham, of human beings, Cha, also, Maritvam, all opulences, Karma, by fruit of activities, Yoga, by mystic power, Jam, born, Yaha, one who, Chakre, dead, Niraya, withheld, Opamyam, comparison or equality, Purusha, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Anujana, to the devotee, Priyaha, most dear. Translation, purport by Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation, As a great follower and devotee of the sage Narada, Maharaj Priyavrata considered hellish the opulences he had achieved by dint of fruitive activities and mystic power, whether in the lower or heavenly planetary systems or in human society. Purport, Srila Rupa Goswami has said that the position of a devotee is so super excellent that a devotee does not consider any material opulence worth having. There are different types of opulences on earth, in the heavenly planets, and even in the lower planetary system, known as Patala. A devotee, however, knows that they are all material, and consequently he is not at all interested in them. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Param Drishtva Nivartate, sometimes yogis and gyanis voluntarily give up all material opulences to practice their system of liberation and taste spiritual bliss. However, they frequently fall down because artificial renunciation of material opulences cannot endure. One must have a superior taste in spiritual life, then he can give up material opulence. Maharaj Priyavrata had already tasted spiritual bliss, and therefore he had no interest in any of the material achievements available in the lower, higher, or middle planetary systems. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports to the fifth canto, first chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Activities of Maharaj Priyavrata. Om Agyanta Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshunun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadhamayam Adhati Swapadantikam Vansha Kalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Merevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So this is giving a conclusive verse which glorifies Maharaj Priyavrata. And the particular glory that's being brought out here is that as a great follower and devotee of the sage Narada, he considered as hellish the opulences that were available on the lower planetary systems, middle planetary systems, and higher planetary systems. He considered, in other words, in short, he considered all material opulences to be hellish, and therefore he didn't want any connection with them. So Prabhupada says here, Srila Rupa Goswami has said that the position of a devotee is so super excellent that a devotee does not consider any material opulence worth having. So if you go to the Nectar of Devotion, chapter 4, then the whole, that chapter is called, I forget what the chapter is called. You remember? Anyone remembers? It's freedom, it's something to do with liberation, the uselessness of liberation. And it gives a series of verses of devotees offering prayers, which deals with the futility of material opulences. And this is by dint of their tasting something better in spiritual happiness, and therefore considering as hell the material opulences. So that is not a preceding that chapter is a verse by Rupa Goswami where he mentions Bhukti Mukti Sprihayava Pishachi Hridivartate Tava Bhakti Sukhasyatra Katam Abhyudayo Bhavet. That as long as the heart is infected by the witch, Pishachi means witch, as long as the heart is infected by the witch of Bhukti and Mukti, then how can the happiness of bhakti be tasted? Tava bhakti sukhasyatra. How can the happiness of bhakti be tasted? And katam abhudayo bhavet. How can that happiness be awakened, the happiness experienced in bhakti? And therefore, if one wants to experience that higher taste, then he has to give up the taste of the lower platform. But at the same time, we're hearing here, the reason devotees are able to relinquish such lower tastes is because they're getting a higher taste as experienced from bhakti. there's a little bit of a circle there. So one, anyway, so then one has to get a higher taste. So the idea here is that, like we were hearing, if you want to cross over the ocean or any body of water, you cannot do so with both feet or both feet in two different boats. That will not be possible. You have to have your feet in one boat. And generally, the tendency is, okay, since I have to choose the material, I'll go for it. It attracts the conditioned soul's heart. We've already been allured by Maya. We were hearing last night in the Bhagavad Gita class. So therefore, if we want to become attracted to Krishna, then we have to be able to relinquish the lower platform. The lower platform is not easy to relinquish, primarily on account of uncontrolled mind and senses. This is as long as the mind and senses are uncontrolled, then the heart will be continually accosted by material desires. The idea is that the senses drag the mind to the sense objects, and the mind enters into the sense objects as contemplation upon them. And as he's contemplating those sense objects, those sense objects enter into his mind in the form of desires. So if one is not able to restrain the movements of the mind, and consequently the senses toward the sense objects, then the sense objects continue to enter into his heart as various desires. So as one remains uncontrolled in this area, he cannot actually become influenced by higher devotional experience. So therefore, there is necessity to control the mind and senses, particularly the mind. Otherwise, the mind is the cause of our continued existence in the material world. It torments the heart in the form of so many material desires, which the mind is identifying with on account of ignorance of his constitutional position. So then, how to control the mind? That is the question. That is the primary question. Since the mind is the primary reason we continue to perpetuate our miserable existence, so how do we control the mind? All the practices of yoga, dharma, austerity, religious principles, piety, all these various practices are primarily meant for controlling the mind. Because without controlling the mind, one can actually give up material desires, and then one cannot get out of the material world on account of material desires. This is a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam 11th Canto. So how does one control the mind? So in Param Drishto Navartate, the mind can actually only be controlled by a higher relationship. Right now, the mind is being pulled by the lower relationship of the senses with the sense objects. And it's getting some rasa from that relationship, therefore it continues to remain attracted. And unless there's a greater attraction on the other side, then the magnetism of the lower attraction keeps the iron-like heart of the living entity bound up to material existence, right? Just like magnets attract iron, right? So the living entity's heart is hard like iron on account of his aversion to Krishna. And material opulences are like a very strong magnet. And so naturally, hard heart, magnet, and you try to pull it off, and you pull it off, and it keeps going back to the nature of material existence. So it continues on like that unless there's a stronger magnetism on the other side. Then otherwise, there's no hope for the living entity. So the stronger magnetism has to be a higher relationship with the spiritual, with Krishna. And he has to feel that relationship with Krishna, the magnetism in that relationship with Krishna. Otherwise, the other magnet is continuing to attract this iron-like heart. So therefore, how to experience the higher taste in relationship to Krishna so that the lower relationship doesn't bind us perpetually in the material existence. So it happens to be the age of Kali Yuga. So in the age of Kali Yuga, the primary methodology for experiencing higher taste happens to be Nam Bhajan, or the worship of Krishna through the holy name. That's the actual method of attaining higher taste. So if one, there's no question about the processes of self-realization in Kali Yuga. I mean, just by dint of observation, you can see no one's doing anything else. They're just doing sense gratification. So the only hope for the living entity in the age of Kali is, of course, the chanting of the holy name of Krishna. He has to be able to experience that a higher taste to break the magnetism of the lower platform.
But in the cultivation of non-bhajan, it can be a long discussion. I'm not going to do that. The most important things in the cultivation of non-bhajan, the worship of the holy name of Krishna, per the instructions of Rupa Goswami and nectar of instruction, the two, let's say, broad categories of categories of necessity for developing a deeper experience in chanting on the holy name. The first is sadachar, and the second is Vaishnava Sangha. So three verses are dedicated to sadachar, and then three verses are dedicated to Vaishnava Sangha. And then Rupa Goswami discusses non-bhajan, verse number 7. So if one does not have proper sadachar and also proper Vaishnava relations, then his non-bhajan will be impeded. And then he's not able to get the higher taste. And on account of not getting the higher taste, his heart remains iron-like, and he remains attracted to the material opulences. So for those who are serious about getting out of the material world, then they have to chant Hare Krishna. But they have to do so with proper sadachar and proper Vaishnava Sangha in place in order to be successful in their chanting of Hare Krishna. Otherwise, it continues on account of improper Vaishnava Sangha and improper sadachar, then one's non-bhajan is infested with aparad. And on account of aparadam, then he's not able to get anything out of his chanting. Rather, his aparadam, his chanting nam aparad, will actually increase his material desires for sense enjoyment. This is described by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and Prabhupada's quoting Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in his discussion of the creeper of devotion, and discussing the many impediments that come up when we're trying to water the devotional creeper by hearing chanting. One of the major obstacles is nam aparad. And nam aparad, this is described there by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, actually increases the desires for material sense enjoyment. So if one is not assiduously cultivating the name, assiduously means with great care and attention, perseverance, then it should not be at all astonishing that, you know, you see people suddenly leaving, you know, Krishna consciousness to pursue that magnetic relationship on the material platform. It should not be at all astonishing. And this is just only due on account of inattention and the assiduous cultivation of the name according to the directions of the Rupanuga Vaishnavas, like that. So in short, the essence of cultivating proper sadachar is mentioned by Mahaprabhu, asat sangatyaga a Vaishnava achar. So when he discusses the achar of a Vaishnava, he emphasizes on the point of asat sangha, tyag, renouncing, giving up the asat situation. Because as long as one doesn't give up the asat, then even if he's trying to cultivate sat, it will be ineffective. That's like trying to clean your clothes and keeping the thing which is making it dirty attached to it. You know, it's like trying to clean your clothes with dirt. You know, it would be a useless endeavor. So similarly, if one does not give up the attachment to a sat, or, you know, renounces it, then ultimately his achar will lead him to misbehavior and therefore aparadam will actually take place. Of course, Mahaprabhu mentions two things particularly, the association of the opposite sex and the association of non-devotees. So that basically means the whole material existence, by the way. And that's all it's filled with, non-devotees and the association of the object of sex desire. And it's made verily available to us through internet, through magazines, through the katha of the various persons, including the neophyte devotees. It's been flushed down our consciousness. So in this way, we're always getting that asasanga, and we're regularly getting that asat sangha. And on account of that, there's a tendency of an offensive mentality in the form of criticism that, you know, that becomes prominent and other such things that are aspects of offensive mentality. So the first thing is that we must give up the asat sangha. This is the essence of sadachar. And after that, cultivate the positive side, which is Vaishnava sangha. If one is an intelligent person, then the first thing he does is dusanga ushregya. He gives up dusanga, bad association. And the second thing he does is sasu sajeta, means he cultivates attachment for the sadhus. So this verse nicely summarizes. On the one hand, his sadhacharya is giving up the dusanga, and the positive aspect is cultivating Vaishnava sangha. So by the positive cultivation of Vaishnava sangha, he is able to hear from Vaishnavas. This is the key point. To associate with the society of devotees means to associate with the process of hearing and chanting. That's what it means to associate with Vaishnavas. And when one, but of course, if one is not cultivating the positive sadhachar, then what happens is he has many material attachments. So the words of the sadhus will be very piercing, and he'll develop misgivings for them. It is mentioned like that. The same verse I quoted, satsu sajeta buddhiman. Next line, santa evasu chindanti mano vyasangam uktibihi. Describing what the sadhu does with the individual, is he. This is Krishna speaking. He mentions that the devotee's words cut the mind's dangerous attachments. Manovya Sangam. Remember, the mind is the reason we're continuing with material desires, as I already discussed. So the sadhu is coming with a transcendental machete, if you will. But because we're attached to all those things, when he starts cutting, he's like, oh, this is a fight. You know, and immediately misgivings come in the heart. So, and the reason we are not willing to relinquish the attachment is due to an improper sadhachar. So the attachments are actually being nourished by our bad behavior or our misbehavior. You know, atyahara, we're doing plenty of that, doing plenty of prajalpa, doing plenty of janasangha, as Rupa Goswami describes, the things which kill devotional service. And our enthusiasm for hearing chanting, very lackluster, you know, hardly even reaching the mediocre platform. So therefore, the eyes are always heavy. Of course, we're neophyte devotees, we accept, you know, this goes on. But on account, that means insufficient enthusiasm. When Srila Prabhupada discussed his enthusiasm in the purport to nectar instruction, the enthusiasm he discusses there is the enthusiasm to hear, if you shall read it very carefully. That is the beginning of proper sadhachar in terms of the positive cultivation, the proper behavior. If we are weak in the hearing process, then forget about making spiritual advancement. Forget it. There is no question. And in order to make the hearing powerful, there needs to be the proper Vaishnava Sangha and, you know, the proper regard for the Vaishnavas. Because when hearing from the Vaishnavas, their words will infuse us with transcendental knowledge, which is called as Shudagan, pure knowledge, of Sambandha Abhideya Prayojan, like that. And with this proper Sambandha Gan, then one's chanting can come to the platform of Shudanam. On the platform of Shudanam, pure chanting, then one experiences higher taste, Shudanam Ruchi. No one can experience Nam Ruchi without chanting purely. To come to the platform of chanting purely, this is mentioned in Harinam Chintamani by Haridas Thakur, one has to very carefully hear Sambandha Gan from the lips of Sri Guru. And then his bhajan will be on the right track. It's Anujana. Anujana means, because Priyavrata Anujana, he followed Narada Muni. Anu means to follow. Jana, he followed Srila Narada Muni. And Priya, he was very dear to Narada Muni. But he followed also. This is the reason. He followed nicely. He very dear. It's simple. It's not that if I don't follow, one is necessarily neglected by the spiritual master. But if one follows, he becomes dear to spiritual master. That's natural. That's natural. Just like Prabhupada's example, the kid who is always disobeying, no, the father loves him also, but the kid that follows him, he gets special attention because he's dependent on the father. He follows very nicely. That's natural. So because Anujana, he follows. Priya, he became very dear to Narada Muni. So that following, how do you follow? You have to follow the instructions received from the spiritual master hearing. Then his bhajan becomes powerful. And then he comes to the platform of steadiness. Without steadiness, there can be no question of taste. First nishta, steadiness, then taste comes, right? So first one has to come on the platform of steadiness. And that comes by hearing from the spiritual master, one becomes eager. So in order to bring out the eagerness for spiritual, then the spiritual master has to cut the material attachments through his words. Through his words, chindanti uktibihi. Through his words, he's cutting the mind's dangerous attachments. In order to feel satisfied by that, there needs to be the proper sadachar, behavior. So that, you know, it's like when it's cut, you let it go. Not that it's cut, you immediately catch it, you know, like, you know, like a, you know, like a kite. You know, if it's kite, if it's about to fly out, you jump up and you catch it before it flies out. So the spiritual master cutting like our kite-like material desires, and they're about to float away, and we jump up and catch. Ooh, that was a close one. You know, they almost that. You know, they my dear, very dear material desires almost, you know, floated away, but luckily I caught it in time. This is what's happened when we don't have proper behavior in terms of NOI text 2-3 text 1 6 sense beginning with sense control. Like that. Then when the spiritual master is trying to cut through proper, we don't either. No, that's pretty good if we can see that that's what's happening. Most of the time, no one is even hearing the class. Not only because they're sleeping, the material desires puts beans in the ear, as it is said. And then after the class is over, everyone applauds, very nice, very nice. And no one heard anything. So, and then no higher taste. Without higher taste, the heart remains rock solid, iron-like. And then the magnet of material opulence continues to attract it. So then the Gyanis and the Yogis, they try to also give up the material opulences by force. Prabhupada says here, however, they frequently fall down because artificial renunciation of material opulence cannot endure. One must have a superior taste in spiritual life. Taste, of course, comes from a superior relationship. Otherwise, so what the Gyanis and Yogis try to do is they try to cut off everything without a superior relationship to Krishna, to the facilities offered by Krishna. As a result, their hearts remain actually stone-hearted and iron-like. And because they're still iron-like on account of not softening due to a higher relationship, then it's only a matter of time before the magnet begins to, again, attract them to the material platform. Aruya kritrena param padam tata patantya dadnadrita yushmanangraya. They again fall down. Maharaj Priyavrata had already tasted spiritual bliss, and therefore he had no interest in any of the material achievements available in the lower, higher, or middle planetary systems. Of course, this was made possible by being Anujana, Priya, the follower of Narada Muni. So we are encouraged to also become followers of the Sat Parampara, you know, coming to us by the grace of Srila Prabhupada. And if we're deep, then we'll be able to also cultivate the higher taste. And if we're not able to follow, then we'll continue to remain on the material platform. And at best, we'll have a society of mutual appreciation and not actually a society of Krishna consciousness. Just flattering one another, you know, nice social community, and then remain on the material platform birth after birth. So it can all be done very easily if we just stick to the principle of following proper sadachar and cultivating Vaishnava Sangha. Anyone wants to add anything? Question? Yeah.
Careful, if his mind is not pure, he'll start to find fault. So how do we deal with that other side of cultivating intimate Vaishnava Sangha, which is with intimacy also comes, you know, awareness of the person's small shortcomings. And because we're still purifying our mind, we may not be able to see those things in the proper way.
So the question is that through proper sadachar and cultivation of Vaishnava relations, intimacy develops between devotees. And one aspect of the nature of intimacy is a tendency, or you see the faults of the other person because you're intimate, you're with them all the time. And on account of saying my mind isn't completely pure, and I'm seeing faults, and then that might destroy the relationship. So how do I cultivate, you know, what, like the proper vision when I'm seeing these things? Cultivate the higher road and not allow that to destroy the sangha and so on. So anyway, and Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna is mentioning items of knowledge, the first item he mentions is amanitvam, which means humility. So then no one can expect to make much advancement without being humble, devotee. Humility, of course, is practical. It's not just like a feeling inside, but it manifests in terms of one's inquiries, one's tendency to want to follow a higher direction. Given, you know, you need a guru. To really practice humility, you need a higher authority. Otherwise, you're only thinking you're humble, but you're not actually practically being humble. So one aspect of the humbleness that should be cultivated or considered is, where am I coming from? That is a very important aspect. I am seeing the faults in the other person. Does that mean he is not superior to me? Just like the moon has so many holes on it, but it's still shining very brightly. But one says, oh, so many holes in the moon. But what about the effulgence of the moon that is also coming? That is okay, but you see those holes are there? So then that is a foolish person. It means that we can always... So we're seeing fault, right? So does that mean that individual is not superior to us? It is the age of Kali Yuga, and by then having a material body, there may be always some fault. That is mentioned in many places. There may always be some fault there. Does that mean that the person is not in a superior position, not in a place where they can give higher orders to us? Oh, you are having some fault. Oh, you're a pure-hearted person. Right, just like the colander. You know what is a colander? Sieve. We mentioned this point many times. It is a thing that you use to wash vegetables. It has so many holes in it. The water comes out. So the sieve tells the needle, oh, you have a hole in your back. The needle's like, really? So many holes in your body. You're pointing out that I have a hole in my back. What is this nonsense? And where is the humbleness? You know, considering the history of many of us, you know, if it were to be suddenly exposed in an open arena, we would probably not come back to the Hare Krishna temple, at least for two to 20 to 30 years, where all the devotees have changed. You know, for many of us, we cannot even tell our history. It is so shameless, actually, for many devotees, in fact. So then, suddenly, by dint of mercy of devotees, we've been empowered to do something extraordinary, follow the four regular principles. Extraordinary. That's a really extraordinary thing. And we've been empowered to quote a verse or two, which would have been totally impossible before. Now we're quoting verses. We've been empowered to chant Hare Krishna 16 whole rounds. Whew. You know, when we first started, I remember the first time I chanted, it took me 25 minutes to chant one round. Because, you know, Hare Krishna, Krishna. And I remember walking from where I lived to downtown Evanston. It took about an hour. And it took me about half an hour. And I remember it took me the whole time to chant one round. So when I thought of 16 rounds, I was like, oh, that's impossible. That's going to eat up the whole day for my material sense enjoyment. But by the Sangha of devotees, been empowered to chant 16 rounds. And then we think, oh, I'm a great personality. And then we start. And then the most dangerous thing that happens is the neophyte devotee starts to learn about all the rules. That's the most dangerous thing. He learns all the rules, and then he starts to see, oh, he is not following. You're not supposed to offer obeisances with one hand, Prabhu. You know, he doesn't say anything, but he thinks it in his head. Or you're supposed to, you know, cover your feet for when you're sitting. You should cover your feet. Oh, he didn't cover his feet. Oh, all this full of faults. Everywhere I'm looking is not. I don't see one pure Vaishnava anywhere. How I'll be able to follow? How can I stay here? I need to start my own institution. Like this, he's thinking, he learns the rule. In fact, one devotee, Pradyumna Prabhu, he's still alive. He lives in New York. He's a scholar. He can remember like everything verbatim. Whatever he studies, he's, anyway, he's extraordinarily glorious. He was a Sanskrit scholar that Prabhupada was very proud to show him around. He would take him everywhere to show Steve. One of my white elephants is expert in Sanskrit and saw him. And one time he was learning the Hari Bhakti Vilas, which is, deals with all the Sadachar of Vaishnavism given by Sanatana Goswami. And Srila Prabhupada saw that he was, Prabhupada always used to tell him he reads too many books. He always thought that was a problem. And he was reading his Hari Bhakti Vilas, and Srila Prabhupada said, "What is that?" And he told Prabhupada, "This is Hari Bhakti Vilas, Sanatana Goswami." He was feeling very happy. And Prabhupada said, "You better start reading that, you're going to fall down." And he said, "Fall, but it's Sanatana Goswami." He said, "If you learn all the actual Sadachar, you will see all your God brothers, none of them are doing that, and you will simply find fault with them, be meditating on their faults all the time." So he told them to start reading that. So we learn all these things. We get a little empowered to learn all these things, and then we think we are very nice devotees. And then our delusion is reinforced by other devotees coming up to us saying, "You are a very nice devotee." And our delusion is augmented all the more. You know, we got our mind constantly telling you, I ain't seen someone like you in a long time. On the one hand, the mind, and then you have devotees giving confirmation that, oh, you are very nice. You know, like that, whatever little service you do, oh, so nice service you're doing. So you're further deepened into your delusion. But if your history were to be exposed right now in an open assembly, then probably you wouldn't be able to show your face in that open assembly. Immediately you will feel so embarrassed that you would have to run out. So do we not have a past? And so like we have a past, do not others have a past that they're working through? So why can't our mind go to this type of understanding when the tendency for finding fault is there? Just as they are struggling to come to a higher platform, the devotee that you're intimately associating with, then they will be going through their various struggles to come to a higher platform. They have their histories. They have, you know, conditioned history for many lifetimes and trying to become Krishna conscious, as do I. So then, what right do I have to find fault? And then if we were to think, maybe let me compare my history and that history of that individual, then we might feel, you know, all the more shameless. So this is called humbleness. Humbleness, an aspect of humbleness is repentance. Another aspect of humbleness is gratitude. And both should be cultivated. And that way we might be protected in our chanting of Hare Krishna. Trinada Pisunichena, Torori Vasa Hishnuna, Amani Namanadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. If we don't wear this verse as a necklace around our neck, Kaviraj Goswami says you should string this verse on the take this verse and put it on the string of the holy name and wear it around your neck, beginning with this humble attitude as I've just described. If we're not willing to do that, or let's say not willing, if we lack determination to do so, then yeah, we're going to be finding fault, this, that, and the other, and then, you know, finish your spiritual life. And it's really that simple. It's not like there needs to be tons of discussion about it. It's really that simple. If we lack determination to take the humble road, Sanatana Goswami's instruction, I mentioned it many times in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, he mentions that, particularly for a sadaka, that he should adopt the speech, mentality, and behavior that will fix him in a humble state of in humbleness. With his intelligence, he should adopt the speech, the behavior, and the mentality that will keep him fixed in humbleness. This is the instruction of Sanatana Goswami. That requires, of course, determination. So if we're weak in our determination, then it's just this simple. We're going to fall down. You know, it's just going to be a gradual buildup of the faults of devotees, the faults of the temple, the faults with the deity, you know, the faults with the whole world. You know, no one is good. And then it's just fall down after that. So we are encouraged by Kaviraj Goswami to string this verse, Trinadapi, on our necks. Wear it on our necks. String it on the holy name. Wear it on our necks. And in this way, we are hopeful entities. We need determination in this attitude like that. I don't know if that's satisfied. Yeah.
So you were describing the sequence of nectar of instruction, Sadachar, Vaishnav Sangha, chanting of the holy name. And in this purport, we're hearing, you know, the fallacy of artificial, it's a sadachar, artificial, what meaning like trying to achieve a spiritual platform of behavior without having spiritual understanding or complete understanding. You had mentioned that that can't be done without a higher relationship. So in the beginning, because the higher relationship is, I mean, to some extent, I mean, we experience happiness when chanting even from the very beginning. That can happen until you start committing offenses and stuff. But in general, what are some recommendations that are given for how to quickly, you mentioned hearing and allowing the conceptions to change, but is there more to that understanding how to not remain in the artificial position of renouncing the durachar kind of activities?
Is it like a quicker way of doing that?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm just taking some components, but maybe like if there's a more focused understanding of like the path to both performing sadachar and also quickly getting out of that artificial position, you know. Because it's not like when we come, we say, I mean, well, there is a gradual progression, I guess there can be. Mm-hmm. But not everybody takes it like that. It can be you come and you associate with devotees for a long time, and then you start to gradually hear, and then blah, 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 blah. But, you know, generally, I mean, or a lot of times that doesn't happen. A lot of times it's like, oh, I want to do this, so let me be serious, and then I want to stop this, and da, da, da. And then you're there. So now, what's the higher taste?
The higher taste remains the same, right?
Hopefully, I don't know.
my description of higher taste was that it's a higher relationship. Of course, the higher relationship is a relationship with Krishna.
Yeah.
And through Nam, through deity worship, through the topics of Krishna. And that higher relationship, of course, is extended to us through devotees who are teaching us how to chant, vibrating the katha that we can hear, engaging us in the deity worship, you know, etc. And it's supposed to be ever fresh. Like you said, provided we don't commit aparadam, then this is supposed to be like an ever-fresh experience. So the higher taste remains the same, a higher relationship that is experienced in newer and newer ways on account of one's serious attitude to continue to develop that higher relationship like that. And it can happen nicely, smoothly, you know, with this principle, Anujana Priya. Anujana means he was a follower of Narada Muni. So the higher Vaishnava Sangha helps to protect our, purify our bhajan.
We see many times when we first came, there was some humbleness because we were just in such a wretched situation that there was some humbleness, you know. And so, I remember thinking when I came to a Bhagavatam class in Detroit, I remember Amiens last night was in class, and there was, you know, Bhagavatam verses there. Mostly of us were sitting in the audience at that time, and he, you know, sang the verse. Because I was who can speak Sanskrit, and they were all just like it was nothing. But I was new at that time. I'm lost. I'm in such a wretched situation. And then after I was around for some time, I said, "Oh, that's nothing." I started looking for the thoughts. We came with humbleness. We got a little bit empowered through Sangha, and because we forgot the source of empowerment, namely the Sangha. How are we getting strength to do what we're doing? That's the source of operating.
tells us Smarana alone remains protected. He always remembers his position, you know, not only before, but in present, how he would continue. Because of that Smarana, he is free from the Kapara. If one can live in a society of devotees and practice with Smarana, it doesn't seem like it should take very long, because we do experience in the beginning, we thought that was there. It was like, I don't know, if I remember with me, it felt like zoom. Then all of a sudden it was like zoom. Some dip through there, you know. What happened? In the beginning, it was like, I was like, how many of you guys come back to life in no time? And then all of a sudden, like, plateaued a little bit. And then, you know, in some months, like, little dip was there. Hold on. At least come back to us this day, you know, plateau. Like that. And this is due to Smarana being very weak.
Quality, whatever, for being able to remember.
Yeah.
So that one's obviously important.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, anyone else wants to say anything? Add anything to the discussion? No? Srila Prabhupada ki jai.